Do you know these names? Deborah Everest, Karen Campbell, or Tony Hughes? They're names of victims of some violent murders you may never have heard of. What's distressing is that if I ask you if you know these names, Ivan Milat, Ted Bundy, or Jeffrey Dahmer, you would immediately recognise them as some of the worst serial killers. Part of the reason you know these names is how we talk about them and how we tell their stories. And very much so, the rise of true crime podcasts as a big part of this. How much of a concern is our fascination with true crime podcasts? Remember how big this was?
This is a Global CalLink prepaid call from
Adnan Sayed,
an inmate at a Maryland correctional facility.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial, one story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
And in fact, Serial was so massive that it, how many people listen to
that? It changed the podcasting world. It made podcasting, which had existed for up to a decade before the advent of Serial, into a mainstream phenomenon.
Xanthi Mellett thinks about the impact of this sort of stuff because she's a forensic criminologist at the University of Newcastle. Xanthi, is it a recent thing, this rise in fascination with serial killers and cold cases that focuses on the perpetrators?
I don't think it's a recent thing, but I think technology and the advent of, you know, the internet, the speed of the internet has really allowed a proliferation. And then we've had the podcast phenomenon, which is still ongoing, podcasts now. So I don't think it's a new thing, but I think that the more that we're accessing this material, the more normalised it's becoming. We're almost kind of forgetting about, you know, those two sides to these stories.
I think one of the interesting changes that true crime podcasts have brought about is the fascination with the true crime has always been there. There have been websites and books and everything, but there is a certain amount of uncomfortable scrutiny on family members, on innocent people caught up in the wake of the crime, which you don't see in other mediums. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think we do, and we also get persons of interest that are named in investigations that then end up having nothing to do with the crime at all. I'm thinking about William Tyrrell specifically in New South Wales at the moment, a number of people being named, and this affects their lives going forward because a lot of people think, you know, no smoke without fire, and yet it affects them on an ongoing basis. So I think once the information is out there, you know, you can't suck it back, and we have to be very careful how we're having this dialogue because it's affecting people's lives.
It's very much that there's this relationship now to these sorts of stories and fiction because they're told in that narrative style. It's almost we get addicted like we do to, you know, a television series.
Well, I think that's the thing. People think of it as a story, don't they? I mean, I certainly listened to Serial, and one of the things I found fascinating was that you felt that you were going on a journey with Sarah as she narrated this story. So I think you feel like you're part of this kind of fictional drama that's, you know, playing out in front of you, and you're learning things as she learns, except it's not a fictional drama. You know, Adnan's in prison, possibly for a crime he didn't commit. And then if that's the case, then the young woman who was murdered, her murderer is still free. So it's not a story. And I think that's the part people forget. They get caught up in, you know, the excitement and the interest and then forget that these are real people.
1-300-222-774. Do you love true crime as a genre, whether it be in podcasts or documentaries? Do you think the genre contributes, though, to the glamorization of the perpetrators? There's right now a series on Netflix about Ted Bundy. You know, it seems very much like, as a true crime nut, I dove right into it, watched all the episodes. Would something like that glamorize Ted Bundy, though, or just wake us up to the monstrosity of his crimes?
Well, I haven't actually seen that particular documentary, but I think that some of them do glamorise the offender, and that was the issue. You know, I wrote a piece about this for The Conversation. That's why, because we don't know the victims' names, and people have kind of commented saying, well, they're not as interested in the victims because it's the perpetrator who's really interesting. They're the reason that story happened, and I love true crime myself. I find it fascinating, but I think that you just need to keep in mind that, you know, they are, you know, the victims are real people, and I think remember their stories, remember their names, and discourage people from committing crimes because they're not going to get the notoriety that they're seeking.
And notoriety is what they get. I mean, some of these horrific criminals, serial killers, have many, many fans.
Yeah, many legions of female fans. I can think of a number of instances. Ted Bundy is one of them. Mm. Ivan Milat, you know, he was writing to his nephew from prison. He's a narcissistic psychopath who enjoys the attention. Anything for that kind of moment of infamy, Ivan will grab it. So I just really have a response that's kind of negative to that, you know, wanting that attention from the public, and we kind of give it to them. And I just don't think we ought to be feeding those egos when they've caused so much harm.
We're speaking to Xanthi Mallett. She's a criminologist at the University of Newcastle, and she's concerned about the rise of the true crime podcast and the effects it might be having. Xanthi, one of the most famous ones, obviously, is Serial. The first season of that, it focused on the murder of Hae Min Lee, a Korean-American high school student, and the suspect, Adnan Syed, has been in prison ever since then. Hae Min Lee's family has quite famously refused to take part in the podcast, in interviews, in anything. For them, this is nothing but trauma added upon trauma. Is it a responsibility of the journalists, of the podcasters, to take that into account? Or is this just not the way of the world?
Well, I think it's probably not the way of the world. That's not how, you know, podcasts get hits or newspapers get sold or whatever. But I do think it is a journalistic responsibility, because they have chosen not to get involved. That's their right, because they think the correct person is in prison. And it is just, you know, going over old ground is incredibly painful for them. Other families that I've worked with will get involved in documentaries because they're trying to move the case forward, specifically in cold cases. Mm-hmm. The only way to get those progressed is really to get the public engaged, to get that information, intelligence from the public by raising awareness of the story. So that's why they go through it. But it's incredibly painful for them. And I think that's why I became interested in this, you know, particular dialogue we're having, because I do work with a lot of families and I see the trauma that's caused, and they still do it because they still desperately want answers.
And just really quickly, as we're heading toward the news, Xanthi, do you think that the rise of these sorts of podcasts, does it in any way influence further crimes?
Well, I think it certainly can be, depending on the story. So if we look at the Christchurch shootings, I mean, there was definitely somebody who wanted to inspire. They're writing manifestos. So they are using the media, not necessarily podcasts, but the media to inspire. So I think there is a danger of that. But I think as long as we do it for the right reasons and we keep it in mind that the victims should be the focus and we shouldn't glamorise the offenders, then there's no harm with interest in true crime. It's just keeping that balance between, you know, the victim and the offender, I think, is important.
It's really important reminders, Xanthi. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Xanthi Mallett is a criminologist at the University of Newcastle. And just a reminder to, there's human stories mm-hmm. here. It's not just this fictional, interest that we have.